there's nothing wrong with you wanting affection. Like, that is totally normal, and you should have affection within your romantic relationship.
Welcome to What I Love About Sex, where some incredible guests and I, Steph Kanowski, will be bringing you the tools for improving your sex life with topics such as sex issues with your partner, sexual self-confidence, premature ejaculation, sexual shame, masturbation, sharing your fetishes, orgasmic pleasure, and more. Sex is still so taboo, and I personally believe that by improving our understanding and communication skills around sex, we can enhance our own self-pleasure as well as deepening our long-term romantic relationships. So listen in, try to stay open-minded, and let's get started.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode on the What I Love About Sex podcast. So I am back from boobie surgery. I got a fat transfer from my outer thighs and my lower back, which is crazy because I don't have much fat there. And even the doctor was like, most doctors wouldn't take you because you hardly have any fat. So let's see what we could do to put in your boobs. He told me it's probably going to take 2 rounds of surgery, which, you know, that kind of sucks, but we'll see how this first round goes in terms of results in 3 months from now, because it's still going to build a nice foundation and make some nice changes that I was looking for. So far, so good. I'm healing really well. They look great. Still swollen, but I'm really happy with how things turned out. And of course, I had Andrew with me every step of the way, who is just the most supportive boyfriend, as you all have heard. So yeah, I will give you the whole boob story that's going to come next week, just because I'm too fragile to be emotional for that long. I don't want to be like crying or, yeah, my body's just super sensitive and I'm in pain. So moving on to today's topic, we're going to talk about affection. I put out a email blast the other day about mentioning affection and a conversation I had in my DMs with one of you guys who said, you know, it was interesting because I realized that my wife wasn't being as affectionate due to my body language or my energy. So he was able to even catch himself and realize that he was turning. Yeah, you know, I'm assuming he was probably turning away from her a lot of the time, maybe coming home, like maybe after a work day was, you know, acting annoyed a lot of the time, like his energy was off, you know, where it wasn't like a welcoming, affectionate energy. And if you are in a certain mood all the time and it's not a mood that tends to welcome, you know, intimacy, affection, happiness, lovingness, then your partner is going to less often reciprocate, right? That just makes sense. It's like emotions can be very, contagious. So, you know, with that being said, if you're always in a really great mood, and not that you always have to be in a great mood, but like if you're consistently in a place of feeling loved and feeling grateful for life, let's say you're a very grateful, appreciative person, chances are you'll come across more lovable as a person because it's like, oh, that person's so like happy and thankful and, you know, they're making the best out of things. I just want to hug them. You know, it's like you would feel that for basically anyone, not just your partner. It's like that, those mirror neurons and that reciprocation that comes naturally with someone who elevates their mood and even their body language. You know, if someone's more confident, we tend to want to be around confident people. And when it comes to confidence, you know, body language could be standing up straight or holding a conversation with certainty and eye contact and not being afraid to express, you know, vulnerabilities about oneself and kind of taking pride in who you are. You know, those are all confident traits that we are naturally attracted to. And especially within our romantic relationship, these qualities are very attractive and also tend to lead to more touch and intimate expression, right? Because it's like, oh, I can hug this person. I can love on this person when I'm, you know, when I'm noticing these qualities. And by the way, it's not to say that if you're not sad, you don't deserve affection, right? So I want to make sure that that's clear, because that's also when you need affection, you know? So it's not that you have to deserve it. You have to be a happy person to deserve affection. I'm just going to show that the consistency in your mannerisms, your body language, your mood will be a good indicator of why you're getting minimal amounts of affection or more amounts of affection. But then there's also the personality type of your partner, where it's like your partner can love you very much and be attracted to you, but just not be a very affectionate type of person. Maybe they just haven't done that most of their life. They weren't shown that growing up. So it's not something they feel is highly necessary, in which case you need to talk about it, and we'll get into that. But yeah, you still know, regardless of the relationship you're in, you need affection from your partner, you know, whether regardless of your emotional state. I want to take you through three ways you can seek more affection. Like, how do you get more affection from your partner if you're wanting more? And maybe it's a big issue in your relationship, and maybe it's not. You're just like, I'd really like more affection. That would be nice. It would make me feel good. The first thing you have to do is, number one out of three, is communicate your needs. Okay. So you have to, and then the first part of communication is understanding yourself first. Like, try to get it together, meaning like understand your own thoughts and feelings before you go sharing them with your partner. This is something I always encourage, especially around relationship check-ins, because if you don't have your thoughts organized and you're just speaking straight from emotion and there's zero logic, you're just speaking from your heart, it's not always the best thing. It comes across a little messy. It is not always what you actually mean. It's just a feeling in the moment, maybe based on passion, or, you know, it's just, you want to think it through, basically. Think it through, have some notes prepared so that you go into a conversation knowing what you want and why you want it. And that way it's very clear for your partner to understand. And I think too often we go into conversations without preparation because we think, oh, like, what do I have to take notes to have a conversation with my partner? No, that's weird. It's not weird. Take notes when you have a conversation with your partner. Whenever Andrew and I have relationship check-ins, we have notes ready first. And we do not have a check-in if we did not prepare notes. Like, he'll literally say, oh my God, I didn't prepare my notes yet. Could we do it tomorrow at this time instead? You know, so that's how important it is to have structure and to have an understanding of yourself before you go bringing up, you know, important things that could potentially, you know, hurt your relationship. You know, if it's serious topics, you want to make sure you're clear around what you want. And this will also help you avoid having to repeat yourself over and over and have the same conversation over and over. I think a lot of couples end up having the same conversations and feel like broken records and don't get the results they want because they do start these conversations on a whim. Their thoughts are not organized. They don't really know what they want. And if they do, they're not specific. They just tell their partner, I want you to be more affectionate. But there's no, what does that mean? Like, that could mean so many different things. And if your partner doesn't know what it means, it could feel very overwhelming and maybe intimidating. So first point is collect your thoughts. Find out why you're wanting affection and why it's important to you and what that looks like so that you are ready to go into this conversation explaining yourself and you know exactly, you know, what you're telling your partner. The second thing you want to do is you want to find out if there's a reason your partner is not very affectionate. So if your partner even agrees to not being the most affectionate person, you know, ask why. Once again, this is bringing curiosity in, which I talk a lot about And curiosity is great because you're coming from this place of, hey, I'm curious, why do you think you're not that affectionate? Have you ever been? Or why do you think you used to be affectionate at this phase in our relationship when you would do A, B, and C, and now not so much? Has something changed that made you not want to do that anymore? You know, like coming from this question standpoint and curiosity standpoint helps your partner to feel safe to reflect and think about it and actually give you an honest answer. And it shows you're not attacking. You're just really wanting to know. You're wanting to understand. And that's where we need to come from. Probably the most important thing you have to find out is why they're not affectionate, or maybe why they're not comfortable sharing affection, or maybe there was something specific that happened that made them not feel safe to be as affectionate, or it doesn't feel natural anymore. Like, don't be afraid of that question and those answers, because that's the answer you need in order to get affection back. You know, we're too afraid to ask the hard questions, but the answers that come from the hard questions are what we need to get what we want. So we have to ask those hard questions. You have to ask, you know, why does it seem like, it seems to me like you're not attracted to me anymore? Why is that? You know, that's a very hard question to ask, but if it's that important to you and it's creating a problem in your relationship, you have to ask it so you understand the answer and you get the answer and you could use it, you could work with it, right? So it's hard questions like that. Why aren't you attracted? Why aren't you affectionate? Why aren't we having sex like we used to? Why you never come and kiss me after work anymore? You used to, you know, like these questions may feel awkward and difficult, but they are so important to ask, and to ask from a place that comes from curiosity, not blame. So far we have you collecting your own thoughts, right? So you know what affection means to you, what it looks like, what specifically are you wanting from your partner? So you have that written down. And maybe, so to give you an example of specificity, maybe you have written down, like, I would love if we could kiss before bed. That would be a huge step toward being more affectionate together for me. So if it's cool, like, I'll initiate it. Are you okay with that? And we start doing that. And it kind of just gives her a heads up. You're in the initiation seat, so it takes the pressure off her. It also takes the pressure off you to feel like, you know, you're not going to worry, is she going to initiate? You know you're going to initiate it. And it's just a simple game plan of like, hey, let's make this one change. I'll initiate it. I just need you to know that I'm going to be doing this and why it's important to me and for us. And that's just the simplest way to do it, right? So first part, collect your thoughts. Second part, find out if there's a reason why she's not so affectionate. And lastly, you want to, have the conversation, right? You collect your thoughts, you understand where there's a reason why she's not affectionate, and then you go into why it's important to you, right? So this is when you actually use the notes you took and you say, you explain, you know, I've been thinking about it. This is, being more affectionate would be really important to me. I think I'm wanting more of it now because of I'm dealing with this thing and it's really been stressing me out, and I could really use more just like love from you. You know, it doesn't have to be sex. It could be just affection. And that's the thing too. I think a lot of men are afraid to ask for affection because they feel like pussies or wimps if they have to ask for that. And I had a few guys tell me this, and I actually talked to a client recently about it, but there's nothing wrong with you wanting affection. Like, that is totally normal, and you should have affection within your romantic relationship, right? Like, that's what makes a romantic relationship different than a friendship. There is affection, there is intimacy. Affection is a form of intimacy, or intimacy is a form of affection. And you can't make affection only about sex. And this is what a lot of guys tend to do because they do feel embarrassed to ask for affection. So they're constantly asking for sex. And when there's basically zero affection in the relationship, and then all of a sudden sex is initiated, which is the most intense form of affection, it feels so left field for your partner, and it feels so out of the blue that it just does not make sense. So you're often turned down if that's the case. And men are confused by this, but it's kind of like, you know, if we don't know each other like that, if we haven't been comfortable with each other like that in a while, like, how are we just going to go from zero to 100? How are we just going to go from hardly touching, hardly kissing, never saying I love you or looking at each other in the eyes and saying how much we mean to each other to having sex? Like, that just seems like too much of a jump. It doesn't make sense. So no. So to avoid that rejection, you want to be okay asking for affection, because you should be okay asking for affection. This is your partner. This is your life partner. Like, and if it's not your life partner yet and you're just dating, what is the intention here? Probably to be your life partner, right? So you have to understand like priorities and understand that affection is extremely important, and it is the gateway to a healthy sex life. You can't just go to sex every time you need affection. That's not going to work. It will never work. So understand that now so that you get comfortable having this conversation about affection and knowing what it means to you and why it would make you feel good. You know, even just saying affection's really important to me, you know, it makes me feel close to you. It makes me feel like it's easier to do things together, like go on date nights or be sexy together or even cuddle. Like, so to be affectionate more on a routine basis would, I think, help us both a lot to just feel closer and feel more connected as a couple. Don't you? You know, it's like, it makes sense, like make sense of it. You don't have to have an emotional sob story that goes with it where you feel like a pussy. Like, it's totally normal and natural to want that. So please ask for it. Okay. And then after you have that conversation and you explain, you know, why it's important to you, why you feel and what it looks like, then you want to, I would also say like giving examples of what she has done or is doing that does feel affectionate for you, that you appreciate, because it makes it a lot easier for our partner to handle a difficult conversation with us if we are at the same time acknowledging them for something they do already that's good and that we like, right? So for instance, you can come across like, you're never affectionate. Why aren't you an affectionate person? I want to start doing this. And if it's just too much, like, you're not enough of this, you never do this, I want this and you never do, right? It starts to feel and sound very much like you're blaming. But instead you want to say, hey, this is really important to me. I'm curious why you don't want to do this more. You know, here's what I would like. How does that feel to you? And here's something you do that I actually really like. And it's starting to open that door of affection. And I really, really like it. So I would love to like do that more, you know? And then it makes your partner feel like, oh, okay, I'm on track to, like, I'm not fucking everything up. And I'm also on, when they're feeling blamed, and they also feel like, oh, and I'm already like doing something that's working. So that's good. I know that thing works. Whenever we know something works in our relationship and we get that validation from our partner, there's a sense of confidence that comes with that, because it's like, okay, that's one of my tools in my tool belt. Like, I know that's something that they appreciate, that they like, that they find attractive, that they enjoy. So it gives us confidence in knowing our partner and knowing how to connect. So if we could share with our partner what we really love that they do, it's so, so helpful, like so much more helpful than you think. So if there's anything she currently does that's affectionate, call that out and appreciate it and be like, you know, like how you do this for me. Like, I would love to do more stuff like that. And you got to be specific. So like, I love how, you know, you cook for me on Fridays, and I feel so loved when you do that for me. And I would love if we could go on more date nights. You know, that would also be a step towards blah, blah, blah. All right. So that's all around communication, communicating your needs. That was one part. That's number one. All of that. Don't worry. It's not too crazy. That's the most important part, is the communication piece, as always. As you've probably learned from this podcast after almost 400 episodes. Communication is key. The second point I want to make is you want to lead by example, even when it's not always reciprocated. And by doing this, you kind of show like, hey, we could be affectionate and it's easy. It could be fun. It could feel natural. It's nice. You know, you're kind of setting the example. And if your partner is not so affectionate yet, but you've had this conversation and you know they're open to working on it, just don't be afraid to reciprocate. I mean, don't be afraid to lead with affection, and know that it won't always be reciprocated, especially in the beginning, especially if you've just talked about it. But try to just feel good about having the courage to initiate it. And also appreciate when your partner turns towards you when you do initiate it, you know, like remember that, you know, think on that, because most likely they will. And what happens is we can get upset because we initiate again and again and again. And if our partner never does, it could certainly be frustrating, right? So I understand that. And that's why you want to go back to point one and have this conversation again, if that's the case. But with the example of you initiating a kiss every single night, then it's most likely your job to have another conversation or initiate another form of affection. Because just because you had this conversation with your partner doesn't mean all of a sudden they're not thinking of affection as much as you are. Let's put it that way, right? If it's a problem for you, then it's on your brain a lot more than theirs. So if they're engaging in that kiss at night, like they're kissing you back and it's going great, awesome. That's amazing. Like, good for them, because they heard you out. They knew that you were coming in for a kiss every night. They're kissing you back. It feels meaningful. That's a huge step for them, you know? So we can't assume that they're all of a sudden going to be doing all these affectionate things just because you talked. It's going to take some time, especially when you're the partner who really is wanting it, because it's just not going to be on your partner's brain too much. Okay, so leading by example, even when it's not always reciprocated, try to just, you know, pick yourself up and say, all right, I'm going to try this again. And if it gets to the point where it's, you know, five times where I feel like the kiss wasn't genuine or she acted annoyed having to kiss me, then we'll revisit the conversation. And now let's go to number three. So number three is to create opportunities for you to both engage in affection more easily and intentionally without sex as an expectation. Okay, so this means creating opportunities for both of you to engage. Oh my God, sorry. I got the hiccups like five times already this morning and it's like 8:30. I'm not sure what's wrong with me. So you want to be able to set the environment a bit, right? And this can look like going on more date nights or planning a date night and specifically calling it a date. I personally, as a woman, feel such a difference when it's like, hey, do you want to go out to dinner? When Andrew asks me, do you want to go out to dinner? And then when he calls it, oh, we have a date night, we're going to go out to dinner. I'm like, oh, like it just feels it's different because it's set in a different context, right? It's like the date night has more of a romantic meaning. It feels more like a romantic, affectionate gesture. So that feels nice. And when I'm on date night versus just getting dinner with him, I feel like I can be more affectionate. You know, it's just, and that's just my personal interpretation. I'm not saying everyone feels this way, but because it's in the context of like, hey, let's go spend some time together romantically on a date. I want to take you out. It feels like, you know, it puts you like in that mood of wanting to give and receive affection. So doing a date night. If you can't go out on a date night, maybe doing something where you're like, hey, I just want to, do you want to just hang out on the couch later tonight and just cuddle? We could watch our favorite show and cuddle, right? Like that's something you could do together. That's maybe if you're exhausted and you don't have much energy to talk, you could just watch TV, but cuddle together, you know, while doing it. Then there are also, you know, the idea of, hey, you want to cook dinner together and talk about that thing you were telling me, you were starting to tell me about that you read about or whatever, right? Like that's showing like, hey, let's create some one-on-one time so I could get to know you better about something you're doing or learning or currently interested in. Like I want to know. And whenever we show that curiosity and interest in our partner, it's flattering, right? It's flattering when anyone shows interest in us. So that is a really good way to set each other up for creating a space to be more affectionate, because it's very appropriate in that context. You know, when you're framing it with, I want to spend time alone with you, let's do this thing together. And doing enough things like dinner and cuddling and going on date nights is so important. So like along with your sex life, okay? Like your sex life is still very important. And it's important to keep that, but that the sex life will not stay if the other things are not happening. If there's not a consistent engagement of, you know, initiating one-on-one time and being affectionate enough with each other to the point where it's comfortable to have sex regularly. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense. Like it doesn't make sense to go from not being affectionate at all to fucking. Like that's just, it's just way, it's like weird. It's, I don't know if that's like a woman brain thing to think that's such a weird feeling. I mean, it's definitely women and men, right? We both have our own feels about it. I think more women though do feel like that doesn't make sense and I can't engage with you sexually if we're not like showing affection consistently and we're not emotionally connected, which I've talked about in many other episodes. Okay. So that's number three, is to create opportunities for you both to engage in affection so that you don't feel like you're the one initiating everything. But you're now giving your partner an opportunity to initiate because you're creating the context of it being easier to initiate affection. Okay. And then I just wanted to cover too that if she was never affectionate, but now it bothers you. All right. So this was a response I got to my email newsletter. And it's a great question because a lot of you guys are in this boat. Like, what if my partner was never an affectionate person, and it never bothered me before, but it bothers me now. This is tricky, but at the same time, like we grow as people. Like that's going to happen. It's inevitable. We're going to grow and change, and we're either going to grow and change with our partner as a team, or we will grow and change away from our partner. And that comes down to willingness, right? And sacrifice and love and empathy and understanding, conversations and clarity. Like there's so much that can keep us together, pull us apart, right? But this situation is one where, first of all, you want to understand why it's important to you. Again, like why at this stage of your life is affection more important to you? Like, why do you think it wasn't really in the past, but it is now? Because once again, you want clarity on where you're coming from and how are you going to express yourself in a way where it's like, you know, where she can't just say, okay, well, this is never an issue before, so I don't get it. Because that's most likely how she's going to feel or what she might say. So you want to understand like, okay, it's okay to change as a person. Like it's totally fine that now you do crave more affection. But I think having an understanding of why can help your partner have a better understanding of, it gives your partner a better chance to want to engage in that change if that makes sense. So for me, for instance, I've been craving much more affection than usual. I think I was craving the most affection probably this last year and a half than most of my life because of everything I was dealing with. And that made me, once again, this is interpretation. How do I put this? So Andrew is not the most mushy. Like, he's not a mushy guy. He's very affectionate, but he's not like overly affectionate, lovey-dovey. Like, I'm really not that way either. Like, usually if people are too like lovey-dovey, I kind of get like, ugh, okay, like too much. And that's why Andrew and I matched so well. Because we had that same view on how we show love, how we give love, how we express love. And when I went through, so we start dating, right? And everything's like cool. And then I get sick and this whole thing starts. And the more I've gone through, the more love and affection I was craving because of everything I was going through. And I got in this habit of telling him, like, I'm not getting enough affection from you. And where's the affection? Like, do you even care? You know, it was coming across like, do you even care about me? Like, I was very upset. And he was like, where is this coming from? Like, I don't understand. Like, I'm doing the same thing I've always done. And he was caught out of left field. Like, he was so confused. And how I interpreted this whole thing of me constantly feeling like I wasn't getting enough from him and him feeling like I was trying to change him or that he wasn't good enough was really, that's what he said to me. Like, I feel like I'm not appreciated and like what I'm doing is just not enough. It made me realize like, wow, okay, I actually have changed the level of affection that I feel I need, but it's not because all of a sudden and I know why. It's because of what I've been dealing with. And that just hit home for me. Like, when I made that realization, when I thought it through myself and took some notes, I realized, wow, this is just because I'm overly emotional right now. And I feel like I need support. I'm afraid of losing him with all this shit going on. Like, there is just so much happening that I need a very obvious affection towards me that he never used to give me. And that's not who I fell in love with. But now I'm saying I want it and need it. So there was confusion, right? So it makes sense how like we go through phases in life where maybe we need a bit more because of a certain circumstance or a certain health concern or maybe a lot of financial stress, right? Like kid stress. Things happen where we need more at times and then we need less at times. So if you can understand that, first of all, it takes a lot of relief. It gives you a lot of relief because it did for me. I was like, okay, that's why I feel like such a needy bitch. No, I'm just kidding. But I have felt more needing of things than I ever have, you know? And when I was able to put two and two together, I was like, okay, that makes sense. I'm not going to be hard on myself because it makes sense why I need more right now. But I'm also going to make Andrew aware that I don't want him to change who he is. That was a really good conversation having with him because it allowed me to say to him, I appreciate you so much. And you're doing, like, when we really write it down, when we really think it through and think about all the things you consistently do, it should be enough, you know? Like, when we actually talked it out and he's like, you know, I do this for you. Like, we always do this together. And this is how we've been like showing a lot of love and like spending time together. Then it's like, okay, wow. Like, I am getting enough. It just doesn't feel that way. Cause my body is in pain and I'm sad and I'm like, you know, dealing with shit. Not so much anymore, by the way, just to say, I'm definitely on the up. I'm feeling a lot better. And I think it's only up from here. But there was just a lot there, you know, and a lot of insecurity comes with pain and surgery and things that don't make you feel so great or confident, right? So there's been that, because of that insecurity, there's also more of a need for affection. And I've expressed that as well, because if you can be vulnerable and share these types of things, with clarity, then your partner gets it and your partner doesn't feel like you're going crazy or like they're not enough or they're not appreciated. So this is why vulnerability is just so important, and having conversations with your partner is so important, because how are you going to know this shit just by reading their body? You fucking can't. Like, I'm so tired of all these people like, oh, if you can read her body and just know her, like, you can't. I mean, I get that, I guess, more in the dating scene, but you have to do so much more communicating than you think to fully understand where you guys are at and where you're headed. So yeah, point one is understand why it's important to you now. And if you can give her like specifics, like the example I gave you about my surgery and what I'm going through, and this is just a phase, maybe you're going through a phase. Or maybe it's not a phase. Maybe there is a life event that changed the way you view affection or changed the way you view your relationship, right? Have something to back yourself up to understand why all of a sudden you feel the need to make this shift to bringing more affection between you both. So number two is, talk about this together and hear her out, because yeah, you can share all your viewpoints, but your viewpoints alone mean nothing, right? Your team, you have to understand what are her thoughts when it comes to you wanting this change. Does it make her like, how does it make her feel? Like, what is she willing to open up to doing more of? How does she view affection? And does she think she can give more affection? Does she want to give more affection? If not, why not? You know, have this conversation to get her perspective as well. Number three is finding a compromise, right? As always, it's like, you know, my compromise, going back to the example I just gave you with Andrew, was that I was going to show him more appreciation verbally. And for myself and for my own sanity, I was going to start writing down when I felt really loved by him and why. And instead of writing it down, I ended up realizing that I ended up just talking to one of my best friends here. And we text like every day now since my surgery, because I've been in bed so much and she's just constantly checking in on me. And so I'll constantly tell her things that Andrew did, like just a normal conversation. And she called out, she was like, wow, more points for Andrew. Like, look at him go. And like, we made this joke where it's like, oh, he got another point today. Like, he did this. And like, we laugh. So it became more of like this like happy thing where I'm like, oh, wow, he does do so much for me. And instead of appreciating what I have, I was just feeling like I needed more and more and more. Got a little greedy with the affection, I will say. I will own that. So yeah, it's like on one hand, I could give myself the excuse that I'm going through a lot and I feel like I need it. But on the other hand, it's not fair to my partner if I'm not expressing gratitude for what I am getting, you know? Otherwise, why would I get more if there's no expression of appreciation? So that definitely has changed, and he definitely has been much more aware of how I'm feeling and why I'm feeling the way I am. And he has been more affectionate. So I think the dynamic of verbal appreciation and therefore more affection has been working really well so far. And hopefully this is just, you know, a phase where it's like, okay, once I'm back to normal life again, working a normal schedule, like feeling not in pain and just moving on with life, this will totally, you know, things will go back to how they were, but we'll see. It's the beauty of life. You never know. And then lastly is seek help if needed, right? So if you, once you find a compromise and you try out that compromise, I think this is where a lot of couples have a hard time, because you may say, oh, I'll do this and can you do this? Okay, cool. And then you might do it once and then one of you forgets about it and you feel really upset that they forgot about it. And then it's like, it becomes all emotional again and you don't really have a conversation, you have a fight. So it's really important to understand that once you find a compromise, things still won't be perfect. So understand that. Understand you're probably going to need more conversations at least two or three more to get a solid compromise going in habit form. But as long as it's specific, you know, and it's simple, it should work. And you're both willing, it should work. How Andrew and I ended our conversation, he was like, I'm going to be more intentional about giving you the type of affection you say you need versus just what I've been giving you. Like, I'm going to give you the specific affection you need. And then I said to him, I'm going to show more appreciation for you and the affection you give me. You know, so that's how we left it. See how simple that is? And I think that's why it's working. It's because it's so simple. And you both have an understanding because you said it out loud and you're saying it to each other. So, yeah, wish you guys the best if this is your predicament, which I think everyone at some point is going to want more affection from the other partner. And that's okay. And that's why we're talking about this. It's a very normal situation in a relationship and a normal conversation to have. So if you need more help, you can reach out to me for coaching. The link to one-on-one coaching is in the description of this episode, as well as all episodes. And I would love to help you if that's what you need. But that's it for y'all. That's it for now. That's it for now, guys. Have an amazing morning, evening, or night, wherever you are in the world, and I'll talk to you soon.
I hope this episode helped you. If it did, I would love for you to leave me an iTunes review. It would mean the world to me. You can also screenshot your favorite episodes and tag me on Instagram at Steph Ganowski. And before I go, remember, your sex life is as good as you make it out to be. Until next time.